listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 149. Kayla Lords here with the one, the only, the guy who's no longer sick and is out of bed, and I'm so fucking excited.
Yay!
John Brownstone.
I am too.
I'm so happy to have you back. And anybody who's wondering what that's about, we'll talk about it in the bonus section.
Yes.
This week, we're talking about what it means to be a dominant or submissive when you're single, and how you can get in touch with that side of yourself, even when you don't have a partner on the other side of the slash. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education. Show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. And those reviews really do help.
Yes.
Any podcast app you're on, I know on Apple Podcasts, you can review each episode. So if you're feeling it's a five-star kind of day, feel free to give us five stars.
We love
like that kind of thing.
Baby girl over here, she loves stars.
I do love stars. I love gold stars and purple stars and silver stars. I like stars. I like atta girls and good girls.
So star up.
And stars are definitely.
Star up.
That's totally it. Okay. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I fucking hate, LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1, or on YouTube at youtube.com/LovingBDSM. All links are in the show notes. This week I have an announcement. I'm back to doing announcements.
Oh.
I felt like a slacker. Like I wasn't telling people stuff I wanted them to know. Beyond the kink content, beyond my opinions, rants, and rambles.
Right,
there's other stuff. So we are wanting to encourage anybody who loves what we do, finds value in it, has been helped by it, wants us to do more of it and get better at doing it, to join us on Patreon.
Please, and thank you.
Become a kinky patron. So you can join for as little as $1 a month. It's not a contract. It's not something you're stuck doing, for as long as it makes sense for you to do it financially, or as long as you want to do it, you can do it. And yes, you can come in as low as $1 and you get all the content we're posting to Patreon. So we do behind the scenes pictures. We do little special podcast episodes. They're not kink education, although I have been reading, recording old blog posts I've written from KaylaLords.com. Y'all, there's nearly 1,900 blog posts on that. On that site. So yeah, I've got a lot to choose from. And I've finally been adding commentary to those posts. Like, here's what I was thinking. And here, and it's all, yeah, it's about my discovery into submission and sexuality and stuff like that.
That's where we met.
It is where we met.
Yeah,
so
all those years ago.
I know. I finally will be having some posts that include you. A lot of them were like, oh, no, this is not about John Brownstone. Don't get excited. We also do a monthly behind-the-scenes bonus section.
Yes.
So if you are a cricket who loves the last 10 to 15 minutes, we do that, just that, once a month. But it's all about what we're doing business-wise, like our plans and stuff. And lately, we've had lots of stuff to talk about.
And we have even more to talk about.
I know. I'm already looking forward to the October. And we do that at the end of the month. So I'm like, we've got, already got a lot of shit to say. And it's October 4th and the day we're recording.
Go figure.
So every pledge we get helps us pay contributors on the blog, helps us pay for our website hosting, helps us pay for podcast hosting, helps us go to Eroticon in London in 2019, where I am going to be a speaker again.
Yes, you
are. How freaking cool is that? And helps us do other things that we will be talking about in the near future.
Right.
So if you love what we do, if we've helped you, literally as low as a dollar, it really does help. Every little bit helps. So we'd love to see you there if you can do it. And y'all, if you can't, I get it. Sometimes there's a reason we're listening to free podcasts and watching videos on YouTube. When we're broke, we're broke. Totally get it. If you can share what we make with other people that you really like, especially if it's touched you, that helps us too.
Yes.
And that doesn't cost any money, just effort, and we love it. So,
like and share the videos,
podcast episodes that you like, blog posts, we're kind of doing it all.
You know, hit the little bell and get notifications
when we do more stuff.
All that good stuff.
Yes, all of that
helps.
But we'd love to have you as a kinky patron too. So just putting that out there.
Yes.
Okay, so that's my one announcement.
Okay.
I know. I'm getting better at this.
You are.
Well, wait till we get closer to the end of the year when we're doing other stuff.
I know.
Then I'll have plenty to talk about. Yes. And y'all will be like, oh my God, is this bitch ever going to get into the show? No. Whole episode of nothing but fucking announcements. No, I won't do that. I won't do that to y'all.
Oh, dear.
So, this week's episode was part of a suggestion made by our dear friend, the Princess Rara, at the Princess Rara. Uh-huh. That's her on Twitter. I just know her as Rara. But especially now that I'm saying her name right. When we first met her, I was like, is it Ray Ray? Is it? What is it, Ra? Like, I know it's Ra Ra now.
There you go.
And so when I see her on Twitter, I'm like, oh, there's Ra Ra. Mm-hmm. And you see a lot of her on Twitter, and I mean that in the best possible ways. So you should go follow her.
Absolutely.
But this episode, she asked us specifically to talk about how to feel submissive when you're single. And I know that's a huge issue that a lot of submissives go through, especially when they go through a breakup or you've been in the DS relationship. You've had this very clear connection and you've had rituals or protocols or tasks or whatever it is you did in your relationship. And now that's gone. And you're like, fuck, how do I feel submissive? Right. So that is a very important topic. We did do the blog post specifically on that this week. Right. It's linked in the show notes. And it's X number of ways to, I can't remember if it's five or six. I had a few, had a handful of ways that you can kind of get back into that headspace on your own. So if you are a submissive, especially if you're newly single and you're like, what am I going to do? We got some suggestions for you. Mm-hmm. But as with most things, it really is a bigger topic. We were talking before we started recording about how a lot of us have this fallacy in our head. We have this thing we tell ourselves that when a DS relationship ends, it's harder for a submissive to feel submissive than it is for a dominant. So we sort of assume that dominants get to walk through life just being dominant, little d dominant. And that's not that's not always the case either. So this is absolutely a conversation about both sides of the slash and ways to think about it. Maybe some tips to help you if we can. It's unique to everybody, so there's no single thing we can all do that'll help us all, but maybe some ideas. So that's what we are talking about this week. So thank you, Rara, for that. And I kind of wanted to start off with that fallacy, with that idea. Well, let's back up a little bit. I wanted to start off first with not a disclaimer, but kind of a thing to think about. So some people would not say that being dominant or submissive is an inherent part of who they are. They would say that it's a role that they play. Maybe they only become that person in a scene, or they only become that person during specific role play.
Or in the bedroom.
Some kind of kinky fuckery thing. And they go the rest of their life, and if they're not getting their kinky fuckery, they miss it, but there's not a longing there for that part of who they are. That is absolutely a valid way to experience DS.
Sure.
Okay? Nobody here will be knocking that.
It's just another part of the spectrum.
Exactly. It's just a different end of the spectrum. But for us, we are specifically talking about people who probably feel a little bit the way we do, which is that being submissive, being dominant, is an inherent part of who we are. It's part of our personality. It's a part of our sexuality. It's a part of how we relate to partners in different ways. It's a way we express our kinky side. Like, there's all these different ways of explaining it, but it is who we are. It's not all of who we are. We've had these conversations many times. We have other roles that we have in life, but it is a huge and important part of who we are. It's not necessarily something we can just turn off, or that we even want to turn off if we could. So that is what we're talking about this week.
Yes.
So now that we've got that out there. Right. Let me go back to what I was trying to say when I got ahead of myself and it was all confusing about the fallacy side. So I kind of had like a light bulb moment in the shower this morning thinking about this episode, which is where I think about all kinds of stuff, including episodes.
That's your thinking room.
It is my thinking room. I don't think I would know what to do if I couldn't take showers. How would I think? I don't know. Oh, stop. I meant like if I took baths instead. Goodness. Acting like I wouldn't take a shower. I don't like to go 24 hours. Like, I don't even like to go 20 hours. I'm like, ooh, I feel a little gross. Maybe two showers today is good for me. Anyway, off topic. There is this thinking out there, and I truly, just not that long ago, like a few hours ago, would say in all seriousness, oh no, a breakup or not being in a DS relationship is way harder on a submissive than it is on a dominant, because a submissive can't just walk around submitting to everybody. But let's be real. A dominant better not just be trying to dominate everybody.
No, it doesn't work that way.
So it's...
You in for a hard knock if you try that.
Right. I will call you out and drum you out of the community if you try that. Woo, crap.
That's harsh.
Right. So it is... Both sides of the slash have to deal with this, and we have to find the best way that works for us as individuals. So I guess that's probably the first thing to... remember is that as hard as it is for you personally to go through it, dominant or submissive, it's not automatically easier for your counterpart. It's not automatically easier for the other side that they're not just sailing through this either. Okay. A lot of people struggle with this. And a lot of people, I think, have the fear. I know I did for a while that if I'm not doing it, I'll forget how, and maybe it's not real, and maybe I made it all up in my head. And, you know, so there's, I get the desire to want to feel it, even if you're single and you're not in a relationship yet. When I think about dominance, I think about your old job.
Yeah.
So, you know, sort of like there's a stereotype, and it's a stereotype because it's true a lot of the time, even if it's not true all the time. Mm-hmm. That submissives tend to be in positions of authority in our life somewhere. We are in charge of somebody. And so therefore it's very nice to be able to submit, because it's like, oh good, I can give up a little bit of this control that I've got in these other parts of my life.
Absolutely.
I think the inverse is sometimes, not always, sometimes true for dominance, that they don't have control over maybe their professional life or other aspects of their life.
Right.
And that was true for you.
That was very true for me. You know, in many cases, as a dominant, there are a lot of things you're not in control of. And I know for me, one of the big things, you know, in my job, did I try to exert control? Yes.
Did it work?
More times not than it did.
No.
I did try to sneak it in when I could.
Sure. And some people are more receptive to it than others.
Exactly. But, you know, as a dominant, you are not always in control of every situation. So I know for me, coming home at the end of the day, I looked forward to taking that control back.
Right.
All right. That was something, you know, the end of the day when I punched that card and I'm heading home, I'd a lot of times already have sent you a text and, you know, what I was expecting, you know, but I was looking forward to walking through that door and putting my dom hat back on.
Right, exactly. And I think that goes back to something we've talked about multiple times, and that's, you know, no matter how much you feel that part of yourself, how important it is to who you are and to your identity, we don't get to express that part of ourselves all the time,
no.
Even when we're in a relationship, okay? Like, I mean, we've talked in the past when you're in a relationship, how to have little tricks and little hacks to be very subtle with it, so nobody else knows what the hell you're doing, but you know exactly what you're doing. But even then, it's not 100%. So
no, I mean, there were times at work we'd come across people where, you know, you could kind of get that feel for them.
Your kink dar was on, wasn't
and,
it?
And you could kind of sneaky dom them.
In only the most ethical way, y'all. In only the most ethical way.
But, you know, it's kind of that thing. But, you know, it's not really being a dominant.
No, it's not. It's, you know, not the same.
It's not the same. It's not knowing that I have the full consensual control in the relationship that we have.
Right. And there's the difference. So anything we offer as an option that you might want to try, and please only try stuff that sort of speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's not perfect. Okay. Because we know that the ultimate thing is to have that other person that you trust, that you care about on whatever level. This isn't always a love thing or a sexual thing. It's in whatever way works for you. But we know that is the ultimate goal, is to have that connection with your person or people, you know, depending on how you go. These things, for while you're single, are Band-Aids. They're temporary. They're going to wear off. They're not going to work all of the time. Even if they work once, you might try it again another time and go, oh, that didn't fucking work. Because it's a little bit about where you're at in the moment, too. If it's a really rough day and you're really frustrated, it might not, you know, there might be nothing you can do. And then there might be times when you're feeling pretty good and it's easier to slide into these temporary things that aren't what you might consider, quote, the real thing. Because if for you the real thing is about being in the relationship, it might not be quite enough, but it'll be a temporary fix.
Yeah.
But I think it goes back to when I think about this and I think about who I was and how I understood myself before I even knew what submission was, and then the moment I discovered what submission was, and then the rest of me made complete and total sense, and I'm like, oh, okay. I think it goes back to seeing that part of you, dom or sub, as an inherent part of who you are. It is part of your personality. There are multiple ways to express that. So when I was thinking about submission and how you can maybe feel it when you're not in a relationship, I thought about all the times before I even knew what submission was, when I would have a job or a boss or somebody, and even in the perception of authority over me, and how I would respond to them. And when I look back over my working life, I responded, not to all of them, and I'll say why in a second, but to many of them in a very similar way that I do to John Brownstone. Now, it was not sexual, it was not romantic, but it was wanting to be of service, wanting to be helpful.
Wanting to please.
I was living, now I'm like, I live for the good girl and I live for, you know, all that, the stars, right? But I was living for the good job.
Atta
girl. We really appreciate what you do around here. The feeling that I was meaningful to either the person I was directly reporting to or to the organization or to the project or whatever. And that for me, and this will not apply to everybody, but for me, that was about my service submission. That was about wanting to be of service. Now, I would say if you are that type of submissive where you like to be helpful and you like to be really good at what you do and it happens to help other people, that is, because I did it without even knowing, that is a great way to tap into your submissive side, because you're doing work that hopefully is meaningful to you. I hope you have a job that you enjoy on some level. You are tapping into being of service. It's got a different outcome and it's got a different purpose. But if you treat the, hey, good job, or the fact that people appreciate you or that they want you around, or they're like, no, we want that person on our team because they do a good fucking job, right? That, for at least for me back in the day, that was the equivalent. I didn't know it at the time, but it was. It's to this day how I prefer to work. I like to be in charge of my work. I do. But I really, really like it when somebody's like, oh my gosh, you helped me. Like, all the messages we get when somebody's like, oh my gosh, this episode, this thing, the fact that you're out there and you publicly call your dom daddy or whatever, and they're like, that really helped me. My little service self is like, yes, that was the equivalent of a good girl. I was of service to somebody else. Now, not everybody who does service work feels that way about it, and not every service submissive feels that way about it, but if you do,
right,
then it is... it's a little bit like a mind fuck, y'all. It's a little bit like it's not the same. But if you can switch the way you think about it so that you're thinking very mindfully that I am doing this thing, yes, because I want to get a paycheck. Yes, because it's my job. But also because I know if I go that extra mile, if I do that slightly extra thing, if I anticipate needs, if I go the extra mile, if I remember stuff and people are shocked that I used to remember details. My boss was like, how did you remember that? And I'm like, that's what I do. That's who I am. Because I'm the shit. I had to work for him for a while before I could was brave enough to say that. But basically, that's what I said. But it might tap into that for you. Now, here's the caveat that I mentioned earlier. I never was able to do it for bosses I did not have respect for. I never could work for a boss I didn't respect for very long. The first boss where I really, really noticed it about myself, especially in retrospect, I noticed it about myself, started out having my respect. I thought he was amazing. Mm-hmm. He paid us well. He was very complimentary. He didn't take me for granted. And that is usually the problem with service submissives. Anyway, we get taken for granted after a while.
Don't you think that kind of goes hand in hand with the fact that, you know, if you have a boss that you cannot respect and it's hard to get that good feeling of submission, same goes hand in hand with having a dominant you can't respect.
Absolutely. Okay? It's no different on that level. It's no different at all.
Yeah.
Your feeling about it and your connection might be different, but mm-hmm. it is essentially the same. That particular boss, I started out with a lot of respect. I really liked him. He was really good to me. And then over time, right before he got fired, actually, I was like, oh my God, he's not helping me. He's not protecting me. He allowed me to get sexually harassed for 6 months and blamed me. So yeah, it was great. And so at that point, I had just developed the habit and the expectation that I would work that way. But my feeling mm-hmm. about it was completely different. I felt put upon. I felt pissed off about it. I didn't feel good when I went the extra mile. I felt like, yeah. Are you fucking kidding me? And it was completely different feeling. So if you don't have a boss or a direct superior or somebody that you respect that way, it may not work for you. That might not be a good tip. In the blog post, though, we talked about different ways. And one mm-hmm. that I think is good for both sides is our old standby advice we give for almost everything. Go join your local community or join a kinky community. We always recommend local first because as good as an online community can be, if you have access to a local community, it's just a whole different world.
Well, In a community, most communities, especially ones that are vibrant, you have a lot of different options. You know, a number of them have social nights. Some of them have game nights. You know, some of them have submissive support groups.
Yes, that's a great one for submissives.
Where submissives can meet. On the Big D side, you know, they have... A lot of communities have workshops.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. You know, join a workshop, become a mentor.
Right. You know, talk to other DOMs. If you're a dominant, talk to other DOMs.
Talk to other DOMs. You know, I know it's easier said than done sometimes, but you know, when you're in that in between space, that single space, use it as a time to learn and grow. You know. You wanted to learn how to use a bullwhip. You know, find someone to teach you how to use a bullwhip.
Right.
You know, if hot wax, learn hot wax techniques, learn flogger techniques. You know, some communities have master organizations, master slaves together.
Right.
You know, look into those meetings. Those are a enormous... areas of wealth and knowledge from other people.
Well, and we've seen at our local munches, and then now in our area, we're very fortunate that there end up being several times a year big events. We have Fetish Con here in Tampa Bay. We have Florida Power Exchange for the whole state.
Right.
We have several things in our area. Not that I've gotten to go to any of them yet, but I do notice that when they're non-play events, there's sort of the everybody gets to go thing. There are a lot of single dominants who go to those things.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you can test. So there's some that are there like looking for their next little S, and sometimes that's mm-hmm. cool and sometimes that's creepy. But a lot of them, you know, go to workshops and go talk to people and go meet people, because you never know that next person you have a conversation with, if they're going to be your new best friend or they're mm-hmm. going to be your next partner or what's going to happen.
Now, here's a thought, too, that just popped into my head. You know, if your area has a local dungeon, all right, most of the local dungeons that I know, they rely on dungeon monitors, to assist, you know, during any parties, during any activities that they have. Now, I'd say probably 90% of those dungeon monitors are volunteers.
Oh, yeah. And they might get into, like, the party for free or get their membership at the club for free, but they're doing a lot more work.
You know, especially if you're a service type and you're looking for a way to serve, you know, there you have it. You're in the community. You're doing a service.
And you're within it, and you're part of it.
Right.
And you're going to get to share what you know and learn something.
And learn something now, in return.
Most dungeons that I've heard of, and every dungeon and play party and all of that, they're all different. But I know for monitors, they tend to look for experience so that you know that's not a safe way to play. Because that's what a dungeon monitor does. They're walking around making sure everybody's safe. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's playing in a really, really unsafe way, they can be the one to kind of step in and go, no. Or if somebody's safe word is not being respected, they can help step in and go, no, that's not cool. Or God help us, if the audience gets overexcited and kind of gets into your space, oh, that sucks.
Yes.
They can push them back. Yes. So you have to have, you don't have to be the most experienced kinkster on the fucking planet.
Right.
You do have to have a little bit of experience.
And a lot of the clubs, they will...
And I think some even will offer like training and help you out and teach you.
They offer dungeon monitor training to get you up to speed.
Right.
You know, and again, we mentioned looking for submissive support groups, different things like that. Mm-hmm. If your area doesn't have one and you see a need, start one.
Start one. It's as you easy know, as bring, posting it on FetLife and having a place to meet. It's,
you know, and even if you don't have one in your area, start one online.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of people online that are looking for those things. You know, start a submissive online group in FetLife, or, you know, I understand Kick is
something. Kick is huge,
you know,
apparently.
People start Kick groups.
Here's what I'd really like, and I know they're out there, I'm just not like tapped into them, but I don't think they're as popular as the submissive versions are. So there's a lot of submissive groups. If you go on FetLife, it's not all bad on FetLife. Yeah, even I get the messages who are, I finally changed my profile to say I'm married to you, by the way. Only took me a year. Yeah. But my profile had almost always said that I was with you.
Right.
And even I get the gross people who are like, hey, baby, like, fuck you, get away from me. So yes, that's out there.
Block.
Right. But FetLife really is great for community.
Yes.
Local community, what's in your area, what's in your region, what's in your city, what's in your county, and also online groups. So there's a shit ton of submissive groups out there. Right. Rob was telling me about, it's actually a group of DOMs and subs where the DOMs will...
Yes, I briefly saw that last night. That sounded very interesting.
Right, where they'll give out certain tasks that aren't, you know, or all kinds of things that the submissives can choose to do if it helps them feel submissive. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great. What I would love to see more of, and I know, I'm sure they're out there, but I just don't think they're that popular, is groups for dominance. I love me some good dominance. I'm good friends. I'm married to a good dominant. Like, I enjoy good dominance of all genders, of all sexualities. There's a feeling I get, and my vibe is like, yes, I'm here for this. But even as open to new things and thoughtful and understanding and sensitive and kind and caring and all these wonderful, wonderful things that y'all can be.
Build up.
God dang it, y'all are so awful about admitting you need help or admitting that you're kind of in a bad place or gathering together to talk about your own shit. Like, come on, y'all. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. For podcast listeners, I'm getting the knowing look from a certain John Brownstone who's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, you don't all have to be lone wolves, y'all. Oh, Lordy, now. You are feeling better because now you're howling.
Yeah.
And I think that there's room for that. I get into conversations with submissives all the time, and this goes back to relationships, of course, where their dominant is really new, kind of lost, a little confused, not quite sure what to do. And of course, my advice is reach out to a dominant. And I have a built-in one that I just offer up. I'm like, why don't you email Joan Brownstone? But dominants tend to be very slow to do that. Like, slow to reach out for help. Slow to say, ooh, I'm not feeling so hot about this. I'm confused. I'm this, I'm that. Whatever negative emotion. And part of it, I'm sure, has to do with this perception that you were supposed to be in control and have control of your emotions and of yourself all the time. Well, guess what? You can be in control of your emotions and still admit you're like, fuck, I hate this being single shit. You know, what can I do? Where can I go? You know, anybody else been through this? Just the act of talking to somebody else who has been through it can be very helpful.
I know when I lost my one submissive years ago, it was horrible. Mm-hmm. It was a horrible feeling. You were with somebody. We were about a year and a half, mm-hmm. I think, something like that. And here's had a daily routine of doing everything. The tasks that were expected, specific times that we talked, did certain things. We were long distance. We did meet on several occasions that we came together. But when it ended, it was horrible. It was like this, I'm teetering on this endless void.
Right. Your entire daily routine had just been blown up. It was gone.
Yeah. And not to mention that somebody I cared about.
Of course. I mean, yes.
There's that, obviously. But when that, it's like a rug being pulled out from under you. It's a hard, hard feeling. And it's difficult to find your footing and find your ground. But you do find it, and you do get you do get back to it. But and that's how I did it. I started getting more involved in the local community, going to more functions, different things like that. And being around other people in the lifestyle helped tremendously.
I would also say, piggybacking on what you just said about your ending that relationship, because it does happen to a lot of us, mm-hmm. and that is where a lot of this comes from, is you got to feel submissive or dominant for a certain amount of time, and now that's over. The relationship ended. Even if it ended mutually and you're on good terms, it's still over.
Right.
And I would say part is a coping mechanism to get through the breakup period after the initial grieving and whatever you need to do to let your emotions out. I think that that's when it's important to start new routines and start new habits.
Yes.
Because for however long, your daily life has been wrapped around this DS relationship that mm-hmm. you had. And so what has been normal to you, these habits you've created, they're gone. What are you going to do? And damn well better be only fucking breakup. I've gone through as a submissive. I was not at all ready to let go of the idea that he might come back. I was convinced. And I convinced myself that if I kept doing everything that he had expected of me, then I'd be this really great submissive. And when he came back, I was in denial when he came back. I'd be ready. I'd be sharp, man. I'd know everything I was supposed to do, and we wouldn't even miss a beat. Oh, I was so green. So naive. But part of that was, it was denial, and it was not mm-hmm. wanting to face what was happening. And what I know to be true about myself today is that's not going to fucking happen. But if it did happen, it's not going to fucking happen. I think I would know that after the initial grieving and coming out of the cloud of those really awful feelings that you're going to have, mm-hmm. it's about changing up the routine and doing different things. And I have talked to a lot of people who, as good as their relationship was, as happy as they were, once they got to that point, they did kind of, as a submissive, having all your choices and options opened back up can sometimes be a little overwhelming. But there's also this time to reconnect to things that maybe you stopped doing because you didn't think they were that important to you, because your dom didn't really want you to do them or didn't care for them. And now you get to do those things again. Mm-hmm. And so I would say that setting up, especially after a breakup, setting up a new routine to replace the things you're no longer doing. And some of those things can be not submissive or dominant acts in the sense that you were doing something for another person, but they can be the things that put you in touch with what your submission means to you. Now, for me, the easiest and clearest example is of the little spectrum, because the little spectrum tends to have more gear and activities that we can do in a solitary way. We don't always need a dominant partner to, maybe they gave permission, or maybe they told us to stop, or maybe they put us on a bedtime, or, whatever, those kinds of things. Yeah, there was parameters and control, but there's a lot of things that a lot of littles do anywhere on the little spectrum. I'm over at the baby girl end. I'm not, in my mind, I'm not a full little. But those things, whatever those activities might be, like for a dominant, if you have certain kinks, like practicing a bullwhip or learning wax play or learning needle play or whatever it is you're curious about or that you know about, doing those things maybe as a demo, as a way to teach others, practice, like floggers, impact play can totally be practiced on your pillow. They can be practiced on your bed. You do not need a human being underneath you to be able to do them. And if the act of doing those things makes you feel good, I mean, if it makes you feel shitty, don't do it. If it all it does is remind you of your former partner who loved it and whatever, it might not be time to do those things yet. But if it makes you feel good, if it kind of makes you feel alive, if it kind of makes you go, yeah, this feels really good to be doing, dom or sub, go ahead and do it. You don't there are certain things you don't have to have a partner for. If you are a little and you love coloring books or you love watching, like I love animation movies. Like we do movie night every week on Saturday night. I'm like, which kid is it? Is it the little one? Hey, I've got a list of movies I'd really like you to pick. That's right. You think those are girl movies and you won't pick them. I just want to see Frozen again, y'all. That's all. But that's what I like. That's my thing. I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch those movies that make me feel like my baby girl self. You know, maybe you, daddy, might, you know, pick up the paddle or pick up the floggers and whack something, you know?
Well, what helped me through that period was just that, getting out into the community, you know, gravitating towards the munch. And then I started learning of different, one of the local dungeons at that time, they offered rope workshops.
Is that where you learned rope?
Yeah.
I'm very grateful for your breakup for many reasons.
But I attended the rope workshops. They had held flogger sessions, whip sessions. I even took in one on fire play and needle play.
That's not really my thing.
It wasn't my thing either, but it was fascinating to watch.
And I think if you get the opportunity to watch other people do kinks that maybe aren't your own, you should, just to have an understanding of what they are. They don't have to turn you on to watch them, especially if what you're trying to do is get in touch with your dominant or submissive self, educating yourself, learning new things, practicing those things, experiencing those things outside of a relationship. I think not only does it get you in touch with who you are, but I think it ultimately makes you a better kinkster when it is time for that next relationship. When you do come across that person, I think that the more you know about who you are as a kinkster and the lifestyle in general and what's available and what's safe and what's not, you are a better advocate for yourself. Both sides of the slash, y'all. It's much easier to talk about your boundaries if you know what the options are. It's much easier to talk about, I don't like that activity, when you've seen it. Or to say, we can try that. I've gone to the workshop. That's cool. Yeah, here's what I know about it. Let's learn together. But I think that you become a stronger kinkster when you're educated. And if you happen to be single, that's the perfect time, because it means you can go wherever your interests and your community and your opportunities take you. You can go. It's not about what we want to do together. It can be, ooh, what sounded good? What was interesting? What's available on a night when I don't have to go to work and I'll go to that? You know, what's the opportunity to go out with, you know, what do my friends want to go to that maybe I wouldn't have thought of on my own? Like, there's all these different ways that can work. But it works to your benefit. It puts you into the community in some way. You're connecting with people, so you get to feel your kinky self, get out of the vanilla persona for a while. And then you know more, and you then can do more, and you can do better with the next relationship. I know a lot of us, especially submissives, especially when it's our first DS relationship, if our first DS relationship ends, so maybe we were single and then we figured, like me, I figured out I was kinky, and then like, oh, here's my first dominant, right? This might not apply to the married kinksters who went vanilla to kink together. We look back on that first relationship and we go, it was good, but ooh, shit, I was in sub frenzy. Or ooh, I went along with stuff that maybe I don't love. It was fine. It was okay. I consented, but looking back on it, maybe not. Now you're single, you've got some time to better figure yourself out. I don't think we ever completely know ourselves. I think that's an ongoing, constant journey. So we've talked about this many times. The people we are together in our DS relationship today is different than 2014 when we moved in together.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's different than a year ago, before we even got married. Like, it's sure. shifted and changed. So that is an ongoing thing. You are always going to shift and morph and change. And sometimes it's going to be dependent on the person you're with. Well, the cool thing about learning these things when you're single is that you're going where your own interests lie. It's not in a response to another person. It's the what sounds kind of interesting to me, and what makes me go, oh, I'd like to know more about that, even if it's just to eliminate it, so that you know, yeah. oh, I'm not into caregiver a little, so I don't think I'll do that, or mm-hmm. I'm not into pet play, that's not my thing. That's okay. Eliminating the things you don't like that aren't your thing is just as valid as learning new things that you do like. Sure. But once you have that information and that base of knowledge, when you meet a new, go from the submissive perspective.
Okay.
You meet a new dominant, especially online where it's easy for anybody to be anybody they want to be, right? You know what the language is. You know what questions ask. You know how to test for yourself if this other person knows mm-hmm. what the fuck they're talking about. And that is especially right. important when you're a submissive trying to figure out if this is a dominant you even want to come near, right. regardless of what
Do
might
you
happen
be
later.
Involved with it all.
Right. So from a submissive perspective, the more educated we can be, single or not, the better. It's easier to protect ourselves because we can see the red flags for what they are, like, immediately. We're stronger mm-hmm. because we know that's not okay and that's not acceptable. We've met dominants who don't behave that way. They might not be our dominant, but we know they exist.
Yeah.
But when you're kind of just out there floundering and you're not investing in yourself and in your own kinky knowledge while you're single, I think you do open yourself up because you start feeling isolated and alone. And like, if you don't take this one person right. who's, you know, saying some of the right things, even though your spidey senses are like, some of that seems wrong, you'll accept it because you think, this is my only opportunity. This is my only chance to submit. This is my only chance to be submissive. And if you take that same time and effort while you're single, you can learn otherwise.
And here's the thing, when you're single like that, and this is how it was for me, I learned so much about myself and what I truly wanted and look for, that by the time I did meet Kayla, I had a good understanding of who I was as a dominant and what I wanted. So, you know, the same thing as a submissive. Use that time to grow as a person and understand what your submission means.
Exactly. And okay? And know, be flexible enough to know that it can mean something to you as a single submissive, as what you're looking for in a partner, and it can still morph and it will still morph
absolutely.
And shift over time once you have that partner.
But the core.
Yes. Your core values.
The core values of your submission mm-hmm. or dominance.
Or dominance. And right. I think it is just as valid for doms, maybe for different reasons. So however many times you've done this, your last DS relationship ended, you're feeling very much adrift. Maybe you don't have a job where you can take control, and you know, DS was like your place to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Educating yourself does a lot of the same things, but it's like the inverse. So instead of keeping yourself safe, you show prospective submissives that you are safe,
yeah.
that you know what you're doing, or that you're willing to go find out what you don't know, that you take your dominance and their submission very seriously, that you don't see this as just some thing to get yourself off and you know, all about pleasure for you, that you have thought about it, that you are curious about it. The thing that always scares me about doms, and it's usually new doms, it's usually people who have so much to learn and don't even know yet how much they have to learn. If a dom's not curious beyond the like two things that they know about and that they figured out on day one that they liked, I'm very nervous, because you don't have to be into something to decide that maybe you want to kind of even know that it exists. Like, you don't have to go. It's not like you're getting your, you know, PhD in impact play if you're not into impact play. But I'd like you to be able to speak intelligently about it enough to say, this is what I understand about it. I don't know everything, but this is what I know, and this is why it's not my thing, or this is why I'd like to know more. I want you to be freaking curious. BDSM is not, I learned this one trick and now I'm done. Okay, because we as individuals change and morph over time. We become more, hopefully we become more of who we are. We become more self-actualized.
When we were in the getting to know each other stage, I taught her how to handle a flogger.
Yeah, I'm not any good at it. I'd like to be under it.
The reason being was, you know, there was nothing set in stone that her and I were going to end up together.
True.
Okay.
It is now. It's in stone.
Yeah, I know.
I keep it in a closet. Carry it with me.
That's later. What's in the damn closet. But the reason I wanted her to know is because even if she didn't end up with me, she knew what was safe. She knew what was, you know, if someone was trying to bullshit or pull, you know, so she didn't get hurt.
Exactly. And if you don't want to be the dom that gets thought of that way, just be open to learning. So I have said this before in other topics, and I've heard it now said in other places, so I feel validated. You don't have to be good at everything. You don't have to know everything. I'm going to be real suspect if you, like, quote, know everything. You have to be willing to try. You have to be open to different possibilities. That doesn't mean you have to go along with them. It doesn't mean that's what you have to accept for yourself. But if you are intellectually curious, at least a little bit, or trying to be, like, I get, especially when you're new, you're freaking lost in the wilderness. Learning about BDSM is like drinking from a fire hose, and most of it's porn, which means most of it's wrong. And when you're new, we're all fucking confused, y'all.
But everybody is not good at everything.
And you're not supposed to be. I just want to see, like, if I was out there looking for a dom, I'm not, but if I was. I want to see some curiosity. I want to see some humility too. I want to see somebody who's like, I don't know a lot about that, but
some curiosity and intuition to learn.
Something like that. Yeah, I think I just said that.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, okay.
It's okay. Great minds are thinking alike. but yeah,
incentive to learn.
Yeah, there you go. Incentive to learn. But that this is your time as a dominant while you're single, while you're not in a relationship, to start that process, especially if you know it's not something you're good at, if you've not really thought about life in that way before. Because what both sides are trying to do, if you are going to come together in a relationship, permanent relationship, temporary relationship, just for scenes, whatever, I don't care what your dynamic is, and I don't care how you set it up, but if you want to be the right person yourself for the right dom or sub for you, what you do now as a single person sets you up for that. And it puts you in touch in a very tangible way with who you are as a dominant or a submissive.
Right.
And the people that I have the least amount of time and patience for are unnecessarily arrogant dominants. So I've met arrogant dominants who have every fucking reason to be arrogant. They're the shit. Okay. Like, they have like these skills that you're like, shit, are you getting paid to do this? Because you are really good at this. Like, it's okay. You know you're good. It's fine. You've been doing this 30 years and you're educating people. If you're a little arrogant about that because you're confident and you know that you know what the fuck you're talking about, I'm going to probably let that slide. But if you're shitty to people, I don't care how good you are. I do not care. But arrogant dominance with nothing to back it up. You've been doing this for 5 minutes. You haven't educated yourself. You don't have a submissive. You don't have any real experience and you're not out there seeking more experience. Oh, you're going to have to get away from me. Okay. And quite frankly, I need you to get away from the submissives because you are dangerous until you know what you don't know. And unless you're willing to learn, if you're hiding behind some front of arrogance because you think that's what dominance is, I'm sorry. You got to go.
Yeah.
You've got to go.
That can be dangerous.
And I have, you know, it's funny. I have actually seen that across genders. Y'all, the guys tend to be the ones. You really do. But on Twitter, I have started to see, and it's really rare. I feel like I'm wading into a landmine here. There are some Twitter female doms who I think exist primarily on Twitter. I don't know that they necessarily are in the lifestyle outside of Twitter that come across that way as well. Mm-hmm. And it's a little scary. I'm like, I always think, oh, it's okay. Your kink's not my kink. Your kink's okay. I'm sure there are submissive people who are like into that. And then I'll see a femdom on Twitter go on an absolute tear and be like, this shit's bullshit. What are y'all doing out there? You're making the rest of us look bad. And I go, okay, it wasn't just me. That really is bad behavior. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you're going to be arrogant, you sure as shit better back it up. But I'm very suspect of those arrogant doms, those doms that are just like,
yeah,
kind of going through life there and they're single. Like, really? You're single and you're that arrogant? Why? I think there's a part missing here. Because if you're, I mean, it's not that they all want you and you just can't decide. I mean, it says a lot about who you really are. So while you're single, that's my lecture/rant for the doms out there. While you're single, in between relationships, it makes you a better dom. The more you get out there, yeah, the more you learn, and you can learn who you are more. It's not perfect because we do learn, I think, really well when we're coming up against our opposite but equal. You know, if I, as a submissive, I learn more about how I handle situations and how I handle and respond to dominance when I'm being dominated. But before that, when I was on my own and I was learning, I could learn that turns me on. I don't know why, but that thing right there, that turns me on. Ooh, that does not turn me on. And then I could learn, oh, is this how we talk about these things? Is this what consent means? Is it? And then you get better when you put it into practice with a partner. Of course you do. But you still are way better as a kinkster when you get educated, single or not, but definitely in between when you're single, than if you don't, than if you just float around and, you know, spout out, you know, stereotypical bullshit on Twitter. If that's your idea of being a single kinkster and that's all you're doing, it's not impressive and you're not helping yourself at all. So that's not what it really means to be submissive or dominant. The things we post on social media are the front. It's what are you doing behind the scenes? What are you doing to work on yourself?
Mm-hmm.
I did think, you know, at the top I talked about for service submissives, you can sometimes find that in your work and in other areas, right, of life where you can be of service. I was curious, as somebody who did not have a lot of power in your job back in the day,
okay,
were there times that you can recognize now that you had opportunities to take charge of a project, of a team, of an activity?
Oh, absolutely.
That kind of gave you a little hit of that.
Yes.
I mean, obviously it's not the same thing.
Right. But, oh, absolutely. There were a number of times things came up like that and I was like, yep, I'll
be in charge. I'll be in charge.
I'll do it.
And see, as a submissive, I'm over here going, I'll be in charge, so you'll like me and call me good girl. That's so weird. So as for dominance, if that's your thing, if you have those opportunities,
mm-hmm,
and you know what I learned? This is life stuff at this point. I'm going to say it's not about kinky life. It's like life in general. What I've found as a professional person, when you go those extra miles at work, for you, maybe it's helping you tap into your submissive or dominant side. Cool. But for your career, for your life, for how you work with other people, you are absolutely establishing a reputation for being the helpful one, the go-to one, the one who knows what they're doing, the person that that people can rely on. And yes, mm-hmm, there will be jobs where they take advantage of that fucking shit. Of course there will be. But you walk away with skills that will help you in all facets, sure, of life. I mean, I thought I knew how to multitask and do multiple things and keep multiple things in my head and whatever, until I became somebody's personal assistant. And I was like, fuck, there's a lot to this. I'd never done that before.
Whole different layer, wasn't
right,
it?
Right. And you know what? I am now a damn good personal assistant to John Brownstone.
Yes, you are. So
those skills not only served me well in my kinky relationship, they do also make it very easy to get job references later. When I'm like, oh, I'm trying to do a thing, can you be a reference? My former employers are like, fuck yeah, would you come back and work for me again, right? So that's a kind of a life thing. Like, if you allow your submission or dominance to lead you in that way so that it lets you do better things for other people, maybe where you volunteer, maybe where you work, or whatever, in your career, or whatever things in your life are important to you, it can actually contribute long-term to other parts of your life getting better too, simply because you tapped into who you are. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what it's about. It's not about the label. It's not about being submissive or dominant or vanilla or whatever.
No.
It's about expressing who you are at your core in the safest way possible. So yes, as a submissive, I can't be kneeling in the middle of an office meeting, right? Like, that's not going to work. But if for me, submission is being the really helpful one who is on top of everything and will think of things before you thought of them, I prided myself on this. I was that person who was like, oh, you didn't even know you needed the number, did you? Here it is. I got off on that shit. But that made me understand myself. Like, that helped me pursue a career. It got me raises and promotions in my job, but it also put me in touch with who I am because I was being true to myself. And I think the more that we can be true to ourselves, again, in safe, consensual ways, the better we do in life in general. So if you feel like being a dominant or submissive is an inherent part of who you are, look for ways in your life where you can express that. It's just like being in a DS relationship where we do kinky shit that nobody knows is kinky. Me getting him a cup of coffee looks like me getting him a cup of coffee. We know that that's an act of service.
Exactly.
We know that that's my submission. So if you're doing something in your place of employment that just looks like you're being a nice coworker, or that you're being a leader, or that you're taking charge, and it just looks like this thing you're doing that makes you look good at work, but you know that, oh, that no, that's me expressing my dominance. Nobody has to know that. Tell your kinky friends. That's another reason to have kinky friends, so you can talk about these things.
Right.
But it allows you to get in touch with who you really are and the core of who you really are. And I really think that if more of us would do that, I think life, the world would be a better place if we were more true to ourselves as individuals. And I think on an individual level, you become a better kinkster and a better human when you find that way to do that. And there's ways to express yourself. So if you're single, you have more options than you realize. It is okay. It's okay to want to avoid that because it hurts. But if avoiding that part of yourself is denying that part of yourself, I think in the long run and ultimately you are going to lose out a little bit. There's going to be things that maybe you don't get to express or learn about yourself, or experiences maybe you don't get to have because you've done that. We all have to make the decisions that are right for us, but I'm going to advocate for finding ways to tap into that part of you. So there we go. I only ranted forever. See, people got to stop saying they like my rants because it's just like...
Going to nickname you the ranting submissive.
We did say submissive rants. Is that what we called it earlier? The
ranting submissive, I said. Yeah.
He goes, you're the ranting submissive. I'm like, ooh, that'd be a great website. And then he got this scared look in his eyes. And I went, I'm not starting a new website.
Another one.
Don't worry, I'm not starting a new website. Now, look, we all have
it'd be
different.
It would be a good hashtag, though.
It would be a good hashtag. Anybody who would like to use that, you're welcome to it. We all come at these things differently. We all have different experiences with it. As always, we'd love to hear your experience with it, especially if you have been going through this or are going through this. And you have found ways that work and you have found ways that don't, feel free to reach out to us, talk to us on Twitter at @LovingBDSM, talk to us on FetLife, talk to us in the comments section on the show notes page. It's blog post, so there's comments down there and you can talk to us. But yeah, feel free to share your perspective on this and any ideas you have.
I would love to hear more about what Princess Rara has going on in her community
that. She is so active in her community too.
I mean, with that little group with the dominance and, you know, the submissive
on FetLife,
you know, that sounds like an amazing thing to help people through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that is my throat hurts. I ranted so hard. It's true. It's sad, but it's
sad
true.
But true. I don't. Yeah, I believe it.
I let you talk this time.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I was feeling up to talking a little bit more this week.
I know. Last week I felt bad that I didn't let you talk. And then I realized that you were on the verge of getting really sick. We'll talk about that in the bonus section.
Yeah.
But then I was like,
I was on a downhill slide last week.
Yeah, you were. So I stopped feeling bad that I totally dominated that.
Yeah.
Little D dominated that conversation. It's like, oh, okay. So that's it for us.
I think so.
I think that's plenty.
Yeah.
It's a broad topic, y'all.
It is.
We do not have all the answers. We're not going to pretend we have all the answers. I think what I want you to walk away from with this is that there's that it's maybe a good idea to let yourself feel your role, who you are, yes, outside of a relationship. You don't have to be in a relationship, and you don't, and it doesn't always have to be like, if your DS is usually sexual or romantic, mm-hmm, I get that, and I certainly get the pull of that, but it doesn't always have to be. And if you can find, right, other ways to tap into it and to express it,
sure,
there's a lot of good that can come from that.
It, you know, explore what you have in the kink community. You know, I say volunteer as a dungeon monitor.
Just go to a munch.
You know, get involved with a mentorship group.
Something.
You know, dom meeting, sub meeting.
Just talk to people. Even just talk to people online. You're not trying to be in a relationship with them. You're not trying to hit on them. You're just trying, mm-hmm, to get to know them. And that might be all you need, you know? Right. What I would probably not recommend is pining over what you see or what you perceive other people have, because that is usually just a one-way ticket to feeling like crap. Right. So avoid those things, yeah, but go do your own thing and find
yourself, find who you are, and learn, grow.
And use the community to do that.
Right.
Do it within the community. So,
yeah,
yep. We could talk about this for a while.
We're not gonna.
Okay.
Are we good?
We try to be.
Try to be. I know.
It's all we can do.
We can be.
Yeah. That's all we can do. Okay.
Ready?
Vaguely.
Okay.
Keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next week. Dottie.
Yes, baby girl.
Can I talk to the crickets?
Ah, you and those crickets.
I love the crickets. And the crickets love me.
I know you do.
Because they tell me that they love me. I get what I love are the messages from people who... You can almost sense that we're like, I can't believe I'm admitting this. I'm totally a proud cricket. Like,
I know.
I love those. I'm like,
right?
I don't. Part of me does not at all think that anybody would be a cricket. And then part of me is like, oh, I love the cricket. That is an awkward thing to try to tell a stranger on FetLife.
Right?
Like, I wonder how they'll take this when I go, ee! And I squeeze. Squeeze in a text message. And then I try to go. And so if I ever respond to you with, oh, that is the voice you can hear in your head, because that's what I'm,
mm-hmm,
thinking. I that's how it comes across.
That is, yeah.
Right. So bonus section, we do not have mail this week.
No.
A few people have said, I'm going to look for postcards and send them to you. And I'm like, okay, please do that. And if you would like our address, just click the link that says Postcard Project. Because until we get moved in 2019, I'm not giving out... like verbally giving out the post office box.
It still exists out there. In,
yeah, it's out
the
there.
Website,
God knows. Yeah. Yeah, if you go looking for it, you can find it. Because a lot of things, so we've been doing a lot of, or I've been doing a lot of maintenance on the lovingbdsm.net website.
Yes.
And I am still getting messages and questions from things that I said like back in episode 25. And I'm like, ooh, that was a really long time ago. And this shit lives forever, doesn't it? So, and I know that for all my preparation for like a full year of not saying the address online, somebody could go back to like episode, what, 100? And get our address and be like, is this still the right address? And there's, it's just the nature of making stuff on the internet. It gets outdated after
beast,
all.
Yeah.
But I am still shocked at the amount of people who go back and listen to the full archive.
I know.
The people that... I am in awe of, though, are the ones who binge listen, because I know what kind of voice I have. I know. I'm well aware. And if you can listen to the sound of my voice for 12 hours, I'm going to think you might be a masochist. I don't know. But our friend on Twitter, Willow, tweeted at me the other day. She said, have you ever made a video about this training manager video about, I can't remember, timekeeping or something? And I was like, I wish. Why? She said, I've either heard your voice or your doppelganger. And I'm like, probably my doppelganger. I have in previous lives recorded video, but nothing like that. So no, if it sounds like me, it's probably not. Unless you hear the word fuck, y'all, or lube, it's probably not me. It's probably not me. So you were sick as a dog for several days.
I was.
You had me worried a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, because for 3.5 of the 5 days, you pretty much just slept.
Yeah.
You barely ate.
Right.
You drank, y'all, I want somebody to write this shit down. He drank no coffee for over 48 hours.
Yeah.
Like, you woke up, I think on Monday morning, you woke up and had a sip of coffee and you looked like shit. And I was like, why don't you go to bed? And you did.
Yeah.
Yep. And then the next time you had a sip of coffee was like Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
So 48 hours. And it wasn't, both times it wasn't even a full cup.
No.
Yeah. I mean, when was, okay, yeah, he didn't eat. Sure. He didn't drink coffee, y'all. Coffee.
I don't get sick very often.
No, you don't.
But when I do...
Yeah. Now, I still think it was a flu-like thing. You didn't have sinus congestion.
No.
You weren't sneezing all over the place, mm-mm, but you were very achy.
Oh, God. I felt like every joint in my body was aching.
Right. You swung back and forth between chills and being hot.
Yep.
And you slept. I've never seen somebody sleep so much in my life. Yeah. And the few times you would wake up long enough to maybe get some NyQuil or just to kind of go, what day is it? You never remembered our conversation. Like, we wouldn't have a deep conversation, y'all. I mean, I was like, oh, do you need NyQuil? Oh, do you need this? Oh, let me tell you this one, like, detail.
Yeah, it was like I was never fully awake.
No. He just would lumber out of the bedroom, go straight for the NyQuil. I'd go, oh, are you okay? What do you need? And I might tell him, like, a thing. Nothing deep or important, but a thing. Yeah. And then the next day when he'd wake up again, I go, do you remember? No, I don't remember that at all. Okay. But it's...
And sore throat.
Oh, you did have the sore throat. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, you didn't... Normally when you get sick, it's a sinus infection. Yeah. And it was not any of that.
No.
And so, not that I wanted or needed the reminder about how spoiled and wonderful I have it in life and how much help you provide. Holy shit, the past few days were a reminder. I was like... Oh, that's right. This is what it felt like to be a single, kind of felt like to be a single mom, because I had to do it all and had to remember to do it all. And I was like, well, I don't remember being even this tired. I was exhausted. But it was Tuesday when I finally started getting nervous because you slept. I did not see you wake up. And so in my perception was you had slept for 12 hours after having slept for 12 hours with waking up for like 30 minutes.
Well, I went to bed whatever time we went to bed Saturday night.
I know. You woke up a little bit Sunday, and by mid-Sunday, you were out.
I was down for the count.
Then you slept all the way through Sunday night. You didn't have dinner or anything. Woke up for a little bit on Monday. I told you to go back to bed.
Right.
Tough love clause, y'all. and then you... kind of got up here and there. And so by Tuesday morning, I was ready to put a mirror under your nose and see if you were, like, I got nervous. I was like, oh my God, what if something like catastrophic happened and I'm out here like doing something else in the living room? And so I would run into the bedroom and I'd watch. I'm like, okay, he's moved. Okay. And then like, I was actually kind of happy to feel like when you got hot, because I was like, oh no, he would be cold otherwise. I won't say that word, but y'all know. Right. And then I was like, oh, but a fever's not good. So then I came back in a little bit later. And I was like, oh, he's moved. Oh, and he's cool to the touch. Oh, God, he's cool to the touch. So then I, like, leaned. Yeah. I leaned over like a hug, like kiss on the forehead, and felt you go, and you moved as you breathed. I went, okay. And then I could go back out. And then I would, like, I was starting to get worried, because you were never so sick that I was like, we need to go to a doctor. You need medicine. You just slept.
Yeah.
I have never seen you sleep like that.
No, me either. I was like down for the count, and I was just absolutely miserable. I mean, like I say, everything hurt. Horrible headache. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, it was like I was in a constant fog.
Yeah, you were definitely in a fog. The few times I tried to talk to you, you would answer me.
Yeah.
But that's why I would always sort of check back in later. You're like, I don't remember that conversation.
And, you know, thinking back on it now, before I crashed and burned, you know, there were a few times last week, I guess I did feel kind of off kilter. I did have, earlier in the week, I felt a little nauseous.
Right, which you don't normally do.
Which I don't normally do. And I really didn't think about it. I kind of put it down to the fasting.
Yeah, not having eaten anything.
Not having eaten anything that I was doing. You know, I did mention at one point during the week that, you know, I because when I started the diet that I did, one of the things I noticed very early on was a mental clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And last week, I did not have any mental clarity at all.
No, you didn't.
And I even commented that to you. I said, you know, something doesn't feel right. I'm kind of fuzzy in the brain here. And,
I think it was the precursor.
Things aren't firing. I think that was kind of leading up to it. And by Sunday, it just smacked me down.
It's a little bit like you rallied a little bit on Saturday because we went and did a whole bunch of stuff as a family. Yeah. A lot of running around, all kinds of stuff, which we don't normally do. And I was reminded about why I don't like to leave the house on the weekend. It's like, give me a Tuesday morning when everybody's at work. But we went steady for several hours, and you did pretty well. But you were falling asleep while we watched our Saturday night family movie night.
True.
And it was, not a movie easy to sleep through. So I was like, but you also can, you're that one of those people who can fall asleep. You sit down and you fall asleep. Like, I don't.
Once I stop moving sometimes,
it's a superpower. Yeah. I do not have it. Do not have it. I can barely fall asleep once I'm in the bedroom laying down. The lights are out.
I sit down and stop moving, I'm asleep. I sit down and pick up a book, I'm asleep.
Right. Except when you sleep over the course of what? 4 days? Or 3 days? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Yeah, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So 3 days, you were only awake for, over those 3 days, like a handful of hours.
Right.
That was a lot of damn sleep.
Yeah. And that backfired on me the other night because my sleep schedule was so screwed up from sleeping so much. The other night, I woke up in bed and couldn't go back to sleep. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do the surefire thing here. I'm going to go lay out on the sofa and pick up my book and read, and I'll be asleep in no time.
Nope.
Didn't happen.
Nope. But you're getting back to yourself, and you are feisty today.
I am. I feel more myself than I have in a little while.
Yeah, you smacked my butt.
Damn straight I did. You deserve more than that.
I probably do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I probably do. Mm-hmm. You also teased me, so he went out to get a haircut. If you're on YouTube, you can see his lovely close cut.
All part of my feeling better. Your hair was atrocious.
Yeah, it was. The curls are out in force. And so I'm like, are you going to bring me home a treat? Now, for me, a treat is a Diet Coke. It costs 79 cents at Speedway, y'all. I'm like, are you bringing me a treat? What do you mean I'm bringing you a treat? What do you mean? I have been working my ass off for 4 days. Where the fuck's my treat?
You should be buying me a treat for being up and out of bed and being better.
I did buy you a treat. You're drinking it out of your cup right now. So he comes back in from his haircut, and I'm sitting at my desk, I'm working, and I look over, and there's nothing in his hand. And I'm like,
nope.
I didn't say anything because I knew that was a mistake.
Oh, you didn't say anything, I made a face. Was
I totally
priceless.
Made a face. I was like,
talk about the what? Ultimate baby
was,
girl.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my
it was
God.
It was a confusion.
I thought that lip was going to hit the floor.
It was confusion. It was a pout, and it was a, I am not happy about this. And so he's like, what? I'm like, what do you mean, what? Where's what? And then I'm terrified. I'm like, fuck, if I say where's my treat, then I'm the greedy baby girl who's not going to get shit. This is what it means to be with a sadist. So I'm like, and I thought, and then the whining, because it's been a while.
The whining commands.
And then he goes, hold on, what? And then he walks out the front door again, back out, and comes back in, and there's my fucking Diet Coke. I was like, that's what's up. I waited to gloat until after it was in my hand. Because while he was still walking across the room with it, he could have dumped it down the drain or told me I had to wait. Or I was like, And what was really funny is I had my coffee cup and then he gave me the Diet Coke. And so I had it on both sides. And this, if you are on YouTube, you can see my purple, flowery, pretty cup that I like to drink out of. It is a Starbucks cup. Starbucks did not sponsor this, but God, if they would, I'd love that.
Right?
But inside is Dunkin'. Because at Dunkin', I'm on this experiment to see what happens if I stop drinking caffeine by around like lunchtime. So I'm still drinking the stuff I like. It's just decaf, which, yes, I know that means there's a little bit of caffeine in it. I get it. But it's not the same level, right? So I was like, but we on days we record, we mostly drink coffee. And I need coffee, but I don't want caffeine. I'm doing this experiment. So Dunkin' is the only, between the two, only place I can get iced decaf. Like, I'd have to buy I could buy an iced espresso drink, but I don't want that. I just want a nice coffee. So it's a Starbucks cup. I love my Starbucks cup, but and to my dear friend Misha, who is a Dunkin' Donuts lover, I just wanted to point out that inside both cups
is Dunkin'.
Is Dunkin'.
Cheers, Misha.
Yeah, we love you. So, yeah, that's us. I have to say, how last week even I said I'm a little low energy. Mm-hmm. I went on multiple rants, so I was still low energy about it. I think I'm higher energy because I'm so excited to have you back. I'm so excited to have you back. Oh my gosh. And you are higher energy because you're not sick anymore.
No.
And so I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Makes me happy.
It's a win-win.
I'm glad to have you back.
Good to be back.
You're not leaving me again. You better just not get sick. I wouldn't want you to do what I used to do. And I know you used to do too, where you drag yourself through life, forcing yourself to function even when you're like sick as a dog. I mean, I still remember the time I ended up, the doctor, I left work at like 10 o'clock on a Friday. I'd worked all week miserable. Mm-hmm. Couldn't eat solid food, was drinking smoothies and eating mashed potatoes with no lumps in them, mashed potatoes.
Yep.
Because it was the only thing I could get down my throat. My throat was that swollen and I was so miserable. But I was still going to work. And I looked at my boss and went, at 10 o'clock on a Friday, I went, I'm going to the doctor. I'm going to get them to give me something. I'll be back. Because we had work. And they acted like nobody else could do it. So I did. I went to the doctor and she said, I technically can't call it strep throat, but it is as close as you can get to strep throat without being strep throat. I said, I have to go. And I'm barely speaking. My throat's all closed up. I have to go back to work. You give me something. Let me go back to work. I got a shot in the ass. It was the best shot in the ass I've ever had. And then like packs and packs of like antibiotics and all kinds of stuff to take. But I did I was sucking on a walk back in the, I was sucking on a smoothie, probably high for all I know. It's like, I got a shot in the butt. Let's get some work done. I think
all of us have been there one time.
Yes. So now it's like, oh, I'm sick. And that means I can sit still and I will sit still and I'll take care of myself enough to sit still.
Yeah.
Okay. That's better. That's way better than working with not quite strep throat. I don't know who I infected that week. Oh. They were not my problem at that point.
There you go.
So, yeah. I am clearly rambly today.
Yes, you are.
I'm glad I kind of saved it for the bonus section because only the hardcore fans are at the bonus section.
That's true.
And that's okay, too. I'm okay with that. So, yeah. I could talk to y'all all day, and I know we can't. I got work to do. You got stuff to do.
I got stuff to do, too.
But I could. I'm tempted to do some live stuff at some point, either live stream on YouTube or go back on Instagram Live a little bit. I know people on Instagram loved it when we were doing Instagram Lives. For me, and I don't know how you feel about it, I have to not feel overwhelmed by it. And if it gives me an overwhelmed feeling, then it's, I'm not quite there yet, but I want to, cause I love just talking to everybody.
I think for me, I have to say with the Instagram Lives that we've done, I think I enjoyed it when it was just kind of impromptu.
Yes. We went, oh, we're just going to do this. Yep. Yeah. I know. But I know. See?
We're working on it.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
So that's us this week. If you are on Patreon, if you're one of our kinky patrons, the next week's topic goes live on the Friday before we write the blog post and record.
Yep.
And if you comment on that topic with a question or a thought or a perspective by like Wednesday when I write the blog post, we may use it. We may answer your question, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. So that is a perk of being a kinky patron.
Yeah.
So there's that too.
All right.
I guess we have to stop, don't we?
Yes,
damn
we do.
It. I just want to hang out with all my friends. I mean, if there was ever a reason that one day we would plan a live in-person Loving BDSM event, it is that. I just want to fucking hang out with all
y'all. There you go.
That's all I want to do.
Have lots of coffee.
Lots. Well, and some tea and some coke.
Yeah.
And whatever.
I mean,
lots of coffee. And, you know, if Dunkin' or Starbucks wanted to sponsor it, I'm totally down for that.
Hey, there you
just
go.
Just saying.
All right. Tea, coffee, soda, whatever, all served in a coffee cup.
Yeah, everything's in a coffee cup. Oh, yeah, everything's in a coffee cup. And it can be an iced coffee cup or it can be a hot coffee cup.
Right?
I don't care,
there
but it's
go.
All in coffee cups. So, yeah, I'm good with that. I'm good with that, too. Okay, y'all, we love you.
All right, we love you. Thank you so much. We appreciate you all being here with us and listening and watching. And thank you so much for everything.
That, yes, that, thank you. We love you.
Love you.
Bye.